Today's message is dealing with who you are. Over the past month, remember December, we looked at all aspects of the gospel. And I encourage, if you haven't caught those messages, go back. You can visit oakbrookpca.org, look under sermons. And Mike has faithfully got all those out there. And you can listen through the series. And you will understand a lot more about the gospel. As we move into 2019, your elders have sought the Lord, and our goal is to make us a very gospel-fluent church. That we begin to, for lack of a better term, if I poke you, I want to hear gospel fall out of you. Because here's the deal, in the American church, sometimes we talk about this thing, the gospel, but not too many of us in the pew, if we got bumped into in a line at a checkout, could really talk and interact. That's what we want to equip you. We want to be a community of believers, the family of God, where we know without a doubt, this is who I am. This is who Jesus Christ has made me to be. And this is what he has called me to do. Now, you remember last week, we looked at the power and the purpose of the gospel. We've been looking at that all in December. Last week, we looked at these four primary questions that whenever you do Bible study, hint, hint, have these written in your front, okay? You can come and think about gospel. Who is God? What has God done? Who am I? And so, if I really believe these things, how then should I live? Remember Francis Schaeffer? It's the application. There's implications for biblical truth. Unfortunately, in the American church, sometimes that gets divorced. Oh, yeah, I'm one of those Christians. What is a Christian? And we stop. And so last week we talked about, as God is a triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as the Father, he has adopted us into his family. And so how do I then live? As family, we love God and we love one another. When we look at the Holy Spirit, what has the Holy Spirit done? He was sent by God, Jesus. Remember the high priestly prayer? What's he say? I'm going to send another. It's the point. He sends us, he empowers us with the power of his Holy Spirit. How many of us are saved without the Spirit? None. It is the Spirit who makes us alive. He is the ambassador, the missionary. And so, how do we now live in light of that fact that God is a Spirit? Well, as missionaries, we follow the Holy Spirit who empowers me and allows me to share and show the reality of the gospel in my life. As I look at God, Jesus, the Son, second person of the Trinity, remember, wow, he purchased me. All the way from the beginning of Scripture. Remember the first week of December, we talked about the story of God from Genesis through Revelation in less than 30 minutes. Oh yeah, right after Adam and Eve rebelled and fell, God promised, I'm going to send one who will crush his head and you will bruise his heel. That's the Son being spoken about at that point. And what did the Son do? Jesus Christ came in the flesh. And the heart of the gospel, the heart of Christianity is that Jesus did what you nor I could ever do, and that is obey the Father perfectly on my behalf. And so he purchased me with his own blood. Remember Paul writes, 1 Corinthians 6, you are not your own, you were bought with a price, the price of God's Son. Jesus also, when he was on this earth, he says, I came not to be served, but to serve. And so as Jesus has purchased, he now says, I bought you, lock, stock, and barrel, you're mine, all your rights, all your privileges, your life. And so as servants, I now get to serve King Jesus. I get to serve others. Why? What's the big deal about that? People around us need to see an experience, a foretaste of what it's like to be served. And so we can actually go out and serve. Now, if we put that on steroids, we end up with the social gospel, don't we? If we forget the theological truth that the gospel is, I can never be righteous enough. God had to provide Jesus in my place. And so we look at the power of the gospel, that Jesus Christ came in our place. And because of that, I can now live out the purpose of the gospel. And then we looked last week and we began to start touching on this question that if God has saved us from the penalty of sin and he has adopted us into his family, then what's that look like for me? Who am I? What do I do? How do I live? And the answer that we came up with from a biblical basis, you can go back and listen to last week's message, we defined as family, we love God and we love one another. God has adopted me into his family. I need to remember that wonderful truth. Now, turn in your scriptures over to Romans chapter 12, starting at chapter 8. Starting at verse 12, Romans 8, 12. Paul is writing to believers. Listen to what he says here. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For we are all led by the Spirit of God, our sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father, or Daddy. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided that we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. So what's the truth? If we are adopted by God the Father, who is our Father? God the Father. God is our Daddy. We get to cry out, Abba, Daddy. And we talked a lot about that last week, about the reality of being able to just come and say, Daddy. We so often have this distant relationship with God. And so we need to remember that as adopted children, we can have the same favor with the Father that Jesus Christ, our older brother, has. You ever thought about it that way? I love the author of Hebrews in chapter 2, verse 11. It speaks of that Jesus was not ashamed to call, and he refers to us as believers, brothers. You ever thought about that? Jesus, the one who is sent to redeem us, is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. How cool is that? I remember years ago I was praying, and in my prayer, I said something to the effect, thank you, Jesus, or thank you, Father, for sending your son, Jesus, our older brother. And after the service, somebody came up to me, and they were so bent out of shape, it wasn't funny. How dare you call Jesus my older brother? I was like, but that's biblical. And I mean, this person was so bent out of shape that I would lower Christ. And I'm like, but Hebrews 2, let's go look at this. Let's talk about this. See, the problem was, is he had not understood the reality of what it meant to be part of the family of God. Jesus is my older brother. He has redeemed me. Notice, instead you have received God's Spirit, whom, when he adopted you as his own child. Wow, what an amazing thing. Remember the movie Little Orphan Annie? How many different versions are there of the play? I think the Sheep Group did an awesome job on that a few years ago. I love it because we live like the kids in the orphanage so often. It's a hard luck life. Don't get me to sing. I mean, that's how too many believers live with the mentality of, it's a hard luck life. I got to read my Bible. I got to do good. Otherwise, God won't. Is that what Jesus does for you? Wrong answer. No, we need to move later. I love it when Annie is there and she goes, I think I'm going to like it here. That's who we get. When we understand the gospel, I get Jesus' perfect record when I believe what he did on the cross. the great exchange. You know how I love that? God made him, Jesus Christ, who had no sin, to become sin for me, so that I might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. And so at that point, I am now declared just like Jesus. And so I can sing like Annie. I think I'm going to like it here. I'm accepted in the Beloved, Ephesians 1:6. I'm counted pure and spotless because that's what Jesus did. He's my older brother and I get his record. That's the gospel. I don't think we live with that truth strong enough within our lives. We don't think about the implications of living as children of the Father. Because as children of the Father, when we become believers, what did Paul say in Romans 8? We are heirs of God. We are co-heirs with Christ. You ever thought about that? And it's not a Mormon idea that, you know, you're going to get your own planet. But it's back to that you are an heir with the rights and privileges of God's Son. What an amazing thing. We need to grab a hold of that. We need to live with that reality. But here's what we want to look at today. If I am an heir of God, I am declared to be adopted by God, I am a son of God, that means I'm part of God's family. What are the truths that I can walk with? I'm dearly loved because I was adopted by the Father. And also, as family, it has implications on how that works. I get to love God, and this is the hard part, folks. Look around you. These are your brothers and sisters. You get to love one another. That's what family does. And sorry for so many movies and things, but y'all ever see the movie Secondhand Lions? Yeah. It's not all the best movie, but there's some neat parts in that movie. And I love the ending scene. There's this kid that's sort of adopted, for lack of a better term, by these just cursing old men, but there's a love that builds. And they're the most unlikely two to put together, sort of like God bringing us and adopting us as children. The most unlikely put together. And at the end of the movie, the kid Walter, he's called and says, "Your uncle died." Oh, so he shows up at the farm. And the uncle had been trying to fly upside down through the barn in a biplane, and he didn't make it. And as they say, he died with his boots on. But, and Walter's there, and the sheriff turns to him, as I remember, and he says, "We found the will." And it says this: "The kid gets it all, just plant us in the garden with a stupid lion." That's you and I in Jesus. We get it all. We get all the rights and the privileges of Christ Jesus himself, God himself. He makes us our own. And all the mess, that's not a big deal because we're adopted. We're declared as his. And if you will, God turns to us and says, "You get it all in Jesus." Now, do you doubt this? I know it's really easy to doubt this at times. Turn with me in your Bibles over to John chapter 17. This is Jesus praying for us. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is his prayer for you. And I just love to go and read John 17 at times to just meditate. What did my older brother pray for me? Look at John 17:5. "And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed." Do you get what he's saying there? I was like in fellowship and community and family. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Perfect, eternal communion and fellowship. All that cool theological stuff that we could put. But basically they were there. And Christ has humbled himself and come down among us. And he's praying. He says, "Daddy, I'm coming home. I'm returning back. And I want you to glorify me the way we've always had that." And then, we don't have time this morning to completely unpack John 17. That's another sermon series. But drop with me down to verse 23. And hear what he's saying about you if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one. You are adopted. Jesus is praying, I want them to be connected. Realize they're part of the family here. And then he continues. He says, I desire that they also, whom you've given to me, may be with me where I am. To see my glory that you've given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. And in 26, I made known to them your name and I will continue to make it known. Hint, the Holy Spirit gets sent, right? That the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. Do you get the sense of family there? The connectedness? Jesus, your older brother, is going, Daddy, here's the way it's going to be. Thank you. Make this come about. And Jesus, within hours, goes to the cross and makes it possible. He purchases us. And so when God saves us, he makes Christ part of the family circle of God. And the gospel means that we get restored. Because remember, first week of December, we talked about the story. It started with creation. Those of you in the gospel basics course, you're starting to learn these terms. We start with creation. And then what did Adam and Eve do? They hosed it up for us, didn't they? They said, I'm going to not listen to God. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to instead listen to other sources. And so they disobeyed God. That's the fall. And then when God executes judgment on that, he gives them a promise. I'm going to take care of things. I'm going to send the Savior. That's the modern vernacular for it. And so what we find is that because of the gospel, when Jesus Christ came in the flesh, by faith we get redeemed. We get restored back. And so we're back to images of God closer to what we should be. Because we were first created in the image of God. We were created for relationship with God. Remember, what did God do in the garden? That him, he came and he walks with me and he talks with me. God came in the cool of the day and he walked with them. He had fellowship with them. And so if you and I recognize I am an heir with Christ, a co-heir with him, then that means I'm adopted. God the Father is my dad. And Jesus' prayer is that let them know that. Let them live with that reality. And I'm going to send the Spirit because they're not the brightest bulbs in the box. Yeah, it's speaking about you and I. But we have the Holy Spirit in us. Why? To remind us of this. And there's one other cool part, the family part. Look around you. I know, they're not the prettiest people. Some are. But these people around you were designed and purposed by God to remind you of these very things. In community, we're to be family and go, step forward, will you? Did you forget who God is and what he did for you and who you now are? Because I don't know about you. Y'all ever had a bad week? I get them more than I care to acknowledge. You know, I want to be this holy guy. I'm not. And I need you to go, you remember that you're accepted in the Beloved? That's what you told me. Now why don't you live like it? That's part of what the family of God does. We are family. In other words, we are dearly loved children adopted by the Father. And as family, we love God and we love one another. And the way you love me is you remind Mark, yeah, you're a sinner. But you're no longer a sinner because Jesus is your righteousness. And now live like it, will you? Isn't that a cool thing that we create this community where we just keep talking about that? The term we're going to use around here in this coming year is called gospel fluency. I want to gospel you and I want you to gospel me. And that's what we're going to mean. We're going to talk about this back and forth as a regular thing. A good way to look at this is to think about if you're not adopted, what are you? You're an orphan. Think of little orphan Annie. And so let me just make this real for you. The contrast between living as an orphan believer and living as a child of God. And it's amazing how many of the orphan category I lived with for so many years until I understood the power of the gospel and the purpose of the gospel. An orphan. often will feel alone. They lack a daily intimacy with God because He's not their Father. It's this far-off entity they focus on. Well, the only way things are going to happen if I pull myself up by my own bootstraps. That type of mentality. But as a child of God, we have a growing assurance that God is really my loving Heavenly Father. This is in your bulletin, by the way, if you are trying to keep up with this. And then as we keep going, an orphan thinks they're anxious over about all kinds of things. Relationships, money, health. I'm all alone. Nobody cares. I've got to do it. I'm just simply not a happy camper in this fallen, messed up world. Ooh, I can identify with that one. But the child of God goes, wow, I got a daddy who loves me. How much did he love me? This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ sent his son to redeem us. Oh, wow. That's love. And so I can have real confidence because I'm accepted in the Beloved. I'm the Father, or He's my Father, and I'm a child of the King. So I'm freed from all these worries and anxiety. That's where, you know, movies like Little Orphan Annie. We realize, whoa, Daddy Warbucks is my daddy. Now, it's bigger than Daddy Warbucks. It's the creator of the universe. The very one who, you know, speaks and it happens. So that's powerful. Orphan feels condemned, guilty, unworthy before God and others. You ever have one of those bad weeks? Driving in traffic and then your spouse. Yeah. And then you're like, oh, how could you ever love me, God? And we come back and we realize, no, hold it. I'm accepted in the Beloved. I'm loved, I'm forgiven, I'm totally accepted, not because of my record, but because of Christ's record in my place. And you know what? If I live with the truth of the gospel, that means I act like one of the redeemed ones. I don't do it well, but I'm working on it. And my daddy goes, yeah, keep at it. You see how that daddy understanding the Abba Father mentality changes it? The orphan. This one nailed me when I was early in my Christian walk. In my prayers were all these fancy ones. I had learned to pray well in the church because I grew up in the church. God, oh Heavenly Father, you know, all this. And prayer. When did I go to God in prayer? I have to confess, it was usually more as a last resort. Instead of I get up in the morning and go, okay, Lord, I don't know what today holds, but you know what? You got it. Walk with me. Stay with me. You know, practicing the presence of God changes that. The child of God prays that. Father, Daddy. Man, this is scary, Daddy. How are you going to guide me through this? You see the difference in prayer? Instead of a last resort, it's a fellowship, it's a relationship, it's a practicing the presence of God. What an amazing thing. The orphan. Read the Bible. You ever had those desert times? You read the Bible and yeah, I got through my two chapters. I got the little check boxes done. It's almost as if it's written to somebody else. But the child of God's realized, you know, this is lovely. It helps me understand who He is and who I am and His relationship, that Christ is my holiness. The orphan, why bother spend time with God? You know, it's just kind of this empty thing. The child of God instead sits back and just goes, wow, man, You're awesome, Lord. I just love being with other believers and fellowship and I want to share with others and I'm just, wow, I love it. The orphan lacks passion to share the gospel. I know it's funny, we were in the Sunday school this morning. Go, it's sometimes hard to share the gospel. Y'all ever get that? Because we sort of take it as this set of factoids that I've got to present and sell to somebody. If God is your Father and you are part of God's family, you're selling something? No, I want you to be a part of my family. Big difference in that. And so the child of God is just simply, you know, I always loved that song when I was in high school, you know, want to be a Jesus freak. It's just like, you know, I just love talking about Jesus. And people start going, you keep talking about this like you have a relationship with God. And it's like, yeah, I do. That's how gospel comes. Not, ooh, let me remember the, you know, just it's part of you because it oozes out of you. The orphan. I often talk to guys who deal with pornography or lust. usually means you got an issue with your relationship with your daddy, in that you seek physical pleasure or satisfaction. This can be gluttony, lust, shopping. Ooh, did I go there? Yeah, I did. The child of God simply goes, you know what? I know who my God is. I know He's provided for me, and He wants the best for me. He will care for me. The orphans, insecure in their relationships. Oh, I've got to make sure that they know that this is true about me, because if they think the wrong thing, you know what? I don't care. I'm accepted in the Beloved. I'm content. God has declared who I am in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:6, I'm accepted in the Beloved. Philippians 2:3, I get to consider others better than myself, because you know what? I know who I am. I'm part of the family. That's cool. You see how this becomes to apply in all of life? The orphan always feels like the sky is falling. Does that define your life? Oh, the stock market went down. My retirement's going. Or, you know, at work, do you know what they did? You know how this person... If that's the tenor of your conversation, seriously, look, who is your daddy? The child of God is going, well, Lord, I know you got this one. I don't know how you're going to pull it off, but that's cool. We'll go through this together. You see the heart change that comes? That's hard. And if you're trying to do this by yourself, you're not, because you need the family around you who loves you enough to remind you. The orphan has a hard time giving thanks or praising God. Judy, oh, she's out teaching children's church. She shared in a study this morning that, Ken, you got to do the job of fixing her battery yesterday, and she was thanking God you were around, that you got the headache, not her. And it didn't occur on a Monday morning. It occurred on a Saturday morning that her battery was flat. That's someone who can look and say, wow, God, you're there. How gracious that was. Because I know I lived in a mess up, stinky, fallen world, and batteries go flat. That's the British term, you know. And the child of God, this is what we heard this morning in the testimony. How cool is my God? He took care of it on a Saturday instead of Monday morning when I needed to be at work. You see these differences, and you can go on and on and on. The orphan, I'm defensive when you start criticizing me. How dare you say that about me? It's like, you know what? You probably only got about half of it. If you really knew the real me, you wouldn't want to know me. But you know what? I'm accepted in Jesus Christ, and He's my record now. He's the one that God's going to count on my behalf. So He's my protector, and I'm okay with that. So I don't have to fight back. And say, yeah, you're probably right. And anything good you see in me is Jesus, hopefully. You see how that changes everything? Because we forget. We've covered these during the month of December. You remember the four G's? My God is great. So I don't have to what? Be in control. My God is glorious. So I don't have to fear others anymore, do I? Because He's the most glorious one, and He has called me His own. My God is good. I don't have to keep looking elsewhere for satisfaction. Money, job, family. And lastly, my God is gracious. So I don't have to prove myself anymore. I'm accepted in Christ. That's the power of the gospel lived out. And so being part of God's family is more than just this individualistic thinking. You see, as individualistic Americans, we love to say, oh, John Wayne, I'm going to do it all myself. I'm going to get my horse, and I'm going to ride, and I'm going to accomplish it. Now, we realize that when God saves me, He places me in family. He places me in a church, and He gives me new horizontal relationships with those around me, my brothers and sisters, and He places me in the family. And so, when you come to church, we often think, we ask a lot of you right now, what's a church? And go, oh, building. We don't have one. We're waiting to build one. Isn't it kind of nice that God hasn't given us one? Because we would think that the church is that. But who is the church? It's not a building. It's not the worship service. It's not a social club. No, the church in Scripture, what's it say? The church is the family of God who has God as their Father. 1 Thessalonians 1:3, Paul's writing to the Thessalonians, and he says, God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father. If you're a believer, God is your Father. And we could go on, and in your bulletin, you can take time. All different passages that show us that God is our Father. Just put it into any search engine. You'll find it. God is our Father. So many scriptures. The Bible teaches us that the church is called the household of God. What do you mean, household? Well, Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, 1 Timothy 3:15, if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the church, or the household of God is how he calls it. So this is the household. Think about it. We're a big family. This is the household of God. This is how it should happen. And then in Hebrews, it talks about he's building up a house. And Jesus purchased that house, and we're part of the household. The last Hebrews 3:6, he says, we are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. What's that? That's the gospel. And so we're part of the household of God. We are called God's children all through Scripture. We read it, Romans 8, Galatians 4:4. He says, you receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has given you the Spirit. And so we are God's children. And the Scripture also says, you know, sometimes Presbyterians, we don't like to go brother, sister. I love that term because it's a valid term. It reminds me that I'm part of a family. And you are my sister. You are my brother. And it's all through Scripture. Jesus himself said in Mark chapter 3, verse 34, Jesus looked about those who sat around him and he said, because they were like, where's your brother and your mother? They're outside. And he looked at the believers who were sitting there and he goes, here are my mother and brothers. And so Jesus, if he were sitting here physically today, he'd go, those of you who believe in me, you're my mother and brothers, my sisters. Isn't that an amazing thing that we're called brothers or sisters of Jesus? Wow. And then my favorite passage is that Hebrews 2:11, where it says, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. If you confess Jesus as your Savior, he's going to sit there and go, come here, let me show you my sister. Let me let you meet her. Let me show you my brother. What an amazing concept. And we need to live with that reality. And so the Scriptures show us a picture of the church as family. In Acts chapter 2, a lot of times you find all the theologians discussing, oh, you know, today's church, is it like the New Testament church? I don't know, because I wasn't there. What I do know is what the Scriptures tell me. Listen to what it says. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and belongings and distributed the proceeds to all as they had need. And day by day they attended the temple together, and they broke bread in their homes. They received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, a lot of these people are like, oh, this is a social construct for communal living, and forget it. Do you hear family in there? This is how family lives. We live together, we eat together, we fellowship together, we help one another out. That's what you're seeing described here, a family attitude. It's not an economic system. It's how families function. The families are operating and functioning in this description. It's all about family. I'm part of the family of God. And if my brother is in need, I'm going to do something. If my sister's in need, I'm going to do something. Not, oh, well, have you applied for food stamps yet? No. I'm going to take care of the problem because that's it. All through Scripture, in your Bibles or in your outlines, we treat one another as family. We are to be devoted to one another. If you go through and just in any Bible search program, put in one another. Read every passage. I've given you a smattering. We're to be devoted to one another. We're not to hinder one another. We're instead to encourage one another. We're to be accepting of one another. We are to be instructing one another. We're to be caring for one another. We're to be serving one another. We're to be bearing one another's burdens and encouraging one another. And then the whole idea of stimulating one another to love and good works. Hebrews 10:4, we so often say you need to be in church. It says, let us consider how we might spur or stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together. What's the whole idea? What do families do? We have meals together. We fellowship together. We remind, yeah, Jesus bought us. And here's what we're, I wonder how we might be able to do that better. It's that communal, not as in a political system, but an idea that, hey, you know what? We're brothers and sisters. We can do this because we're empowered by the Spirit. You see how that begins to change us. And we're stimulating. We're meeting and encouraging. We're not speaking evil of one another. Now he's part of the family. I know there's some struggles, but you know what? He's part of the family. We're going to love him. And then love. Oh, my word. How many times you find love one another in Scripture? That's the thing. Now, here's the question. What happens if we as a church actually believed what I just said? Think about that for a moment. What if we believed that we actually are God's family? What would we look different? How would we look different as a church? Ask this question. What would our testimony to Somerville look like? Whew, that changes some things. I can give you a testimony, and a pretty awesome testimony. Y'all remember the Trussells, Clay and Debbie? You want a testimony of how this is? I firmly believe, and Clay will tell you point blank, he's serving Jesus today in Malawi because he saw family in this church. Yeah, you remember? Years ago, the Hagers were in our church, and they had a rental home, and they rented it to the Trussells. There were some issues, and the Hagers were struggling, and we went over, we helped the Trussells move in. We didn't know them from Adam. We just knew they were friends of the Hagers, and they were moving into the house. And then there was an issue with the sewage system, and several of you grabbed shovels, and we went out, and we dug a new pipe. Now, Clay had been in one of those massive mega churches. Didn't have any idea that Christians actually loved one another and did stuff like this. It was just this academic outside thing. And he was so struck by the reality that people he didn't know would come and love him enough to pick up a shovel and put in a poo-poo line. Because that's what we did. We put in a new sewage line. That was a demonstration of family and relationship. And then fast forward. Debbie and Clay are now taking that love of Christ into Africa. Isn't that an amazing thing? See, that's how it works. That's what happens when we start to live differently. So here's what I want you to do is remember, we are part of God's family. Jesus Christ has redeemed you. If you believe he went to the cross for you, you are part of the family. And we are dearly loved children who have been adopted by God the Father. And as family, we will love God and we will love one another. Now, your assignment is this. What would that look like differently in your life? Because sometimes we've been more influenced by American individualism than biblical truth. Yeah, sure, we're all friends and acquaintances here, but do you have true family in this body? Ask yourself what it looks like to become family. I'll just be blunt. Part of the missional community. Why did we change our name from small group to missional community? Go read the bulletin. Part of the missional community idea that we're doing is that we can practice better what it looks like as we walk and live as family. And there will be more opportunities to experience that and walk with that in the days and the weeks to come. So, we've seen that God is our Father, and what that means. Think about that during this week. Ask good questions. Ask your spouse. Ask your friends. Discuss that and see what it looks like.